So let's update where things stand with leadership at Design Lab, who is out and who is in now.
Okay. Well, out are Christina Alvarez, who is the school's founder and chief executive officer, and Martin Rayala, who is a co-founder who's worked closely with Alvarez to develop the original Design Lab curriculum model. And both also played key roles in developing the proposal that led to winning a $10 million super school grant. In are Rebecca Collins, who moved from vice chairman of the school's board to interim executive director, as well as Melissa Siwiec, who is directing the Super School project development and is working with Collins at overseeing the school's academics. Also part of the new team is Damian Burke, who's the director of college and career readiness. The board of the school is also in the process of recruiting a new principal after having left that position vacant for the current school year.
And what do we know about how the old leadership's departure was settled? From your story last year, there was an issue outstanding about just over $768,000 in funds. That was kind of the heart of the falling out, correct?
Well, the big issue here was that as the school moved into its second year, 2016-2017, some new members joined the board, and a majority of the new board wasn't pleased with the school's day-to-day operations. Relationships between the board and Alvarez and Rayala deteriorated. Alvarez then resigned in February of 2017. She said she was forced out. The board insisted that the resignation was voluntary. Now, at the time that Alvarez and Rayala left, Alvarez claimed that the limited liability corporation that she had set up to manage the school, this is on paper anyway, that the LLC is the manager, was owed more than $768,000 in fees. And the board disputed that claim, and last summer, anyway, that had not been resolved. Anyhow, there now has been some sort of a settlement. Collins won't talk about it, and neither will Alvarez. But Marty Rayala did tell me that all of the parties have signed non-disclosure agreements. So for now, we don't know the details. But the school does have to file an annual report with the Department of Education's Charter Schools Office. The financial dispute was mentioned in last year's report, so you would think that its resolution would be explained in this year's report, which should be filed in late summer or early fall.
But money wasn't the only issue. As you mentioned, there were some questions about the way the school was operating, the day-to-day operations, and enrollment, specifically Design Lab not meeting benchmarks in its charter was also a problem. How has that, the enrollment piece, been resolved?
Design Lab has come close to being out of compliance with its charter all 3 years of its existence. This year's enrollment, 298 students, was its highest ever. Yet under the original charter application, the school was anticipating an enrollment of about 600 in 2018-2019, its fourth year. So in a recruiting sense, there's no way the school could meet that target. And practically, it would have to add 5 or 6 modular classroom buildings to serve that many students. So the school went to the state charter schools office and asked for a charter modification, one that would bring its target enrollment down to 350 students. The State Board of Education approved that change last month. Now, note too that the number 350 is a target. The school will be in compliance if enrollment reaches 80% of that number, or 280 students. And Design Lab expects to have at least that many enrolled in the fall. I might add one of the things that continues to amaze me is that we have a school here that has gotten this $10 million grant from a national foundation to help create a prototypical school. It touts itself as being innovative and very forward looking and the like, and I guess you would think that parents might be flocking to send their kids to this school, and that hasn't happened yet. So I was surprised that didn't occur more than a year ago when Christina Alvarez and Marty Rayala were running it, and so I guess if it didn't happen then, I'm not terribly surprised that it hasn't occurred yet. But still, that's one of the major puzzles about Design Lab at this point.
Well, considering that and the changes in leadership, is that bringing any adjustment in how the school is operating or how it is approaching educating students?
Well, I think it's fair to say that the new team is probably paying a little bit closer attention, you know, to the, you know, day-to-day management, nuts and bolts sort of stuff. In terms of the curriculum and learning processes, Melissa Sariak says that's not changing at all. She says the school remains true to that design thinking approach that was advocated by Alvarez and Rayala. You know, and this is a method that's heavy on project-based learning. And rather than having teachers lecturing and students memorizing, there's a lot of problem solving going on. You know, and the process is, it goes kind of like this. Identify a problem. I understand its nature. Hypothesize a solution. Test it out. Make changes to work out the bugs. And then give a presentation when you've got it wrapped up. So, you know, there's a lot of analysis, a lot of thinking that's involved in here, much more than the traditional memorization that you see in a lot of school systems.
Okay, now here's the $1 million question, or $10 million question, I suppose. Where does that XQ Super School grant stand right now with Design Lab?
Okay, well, the school's relationship with the XQ Institute, which provided the funds, is a sound one. Work on the project is moving forward. Now, there's not much that's tangible yet. This has been mostly a matter of discussions and brainstorming among students, parents, and staff. As Sariak tells me, they've got to essentially, reach a consensus among these groups in terms of what the goals, what their objectives ought to be, and then they can put it on paper and start moving forward. You know, I mean, and a key point in this whole super school process is developing a curriculum that's more relevant to students in the 21st century. That's going to mean moving away from some of the subjects that have been traditionally taught and some of the methods that are traditionally used in instruction. Now, they're going to continue a lot of this work over the summer. They've got like a summer camp, what they're calling, in the works, that parents and students are going to be participating in, learning more about design thinking and doing a little bit more planning towards what they want this dream school to look like.
And you outlined in your piece some of the things that might be kind of hinting at what direction their use of this funding may take. Can you share a few of those things that maybe give us a little bit, some clues?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, because some of these things are starting to go on already. I mean, one of the key themes here is having more learning accomplished outside the classroom and even off campus. And Design Lab has already taken several steps in that direction. It has 7 students participating in the Dual School. That's the experimental project-based entrepreneurship program that runs out of the 1313 Innovation Space in the Hercules Building in downtown Wilmington that we talked about a couple of months ago. And what's interesting here is that both Dual School and Design Lab concentrate heavily on the design thinking process and on project-based learning. So there's a certain parallels to what's going on with both of those programs. Design Lab also has about 25 students taking dual enrollment classes in entrepreneurship and design. Now, dual enrollment classes, which allow students to earn both high school and college credit at the same time, are becoming more common. But what's different here is that the Design Lab students are actually traveling to the University of Delaware to take the classes rather than have it done in some remote fashion or having a high school teacher who's been trained by the university provide the instruction at their own school. Couple other examples. Some of the kids in from low-income families who haven't had relatives go to college will be participating in a summer Upward Bound program. And others are participating in mentoring programs offered by the Give Something Back Foundation, which can lead to 4 years of essentially free college at the University of Delaware. And also with the Delaware Youth Leadership Network, which is another mentoring program for high school juniors. Programs like this give students better preparation for college and for and give them more opportunities to develop real-world skills.
And you know toward the end of your story that Design Lab isn't necessarily showing the results in academic performance. So what are school officials saying about that as they embark on this super school process and trying to become a model for other schools?
Well, you know, it's an interesting situation. I mean, with Design Lab and with many of the other charter schools, I mean, the kids come in, the schools, you might think that charters have have control over their enrollments, but they really don't. So you don't really know what you're getting. You know what's coming through the door. They've got significant proportions of low income and minority students. Of significant numbers of kids who come there who are already behind grade level. So you've got a lot of work to do in that context. And the school is only in its third year, so we don't have anything like a genuine track record as to how well they're doing on state assessments. I mean, that being said, it's fair to say that the design lab approach doesn't hew to that teach to the test methodology that you hear so many schools getting into, particularly in the spring when they get around to doing the smarter balanced assessments. You know, the hope at design lab is that the school is going to turn out successful graduates who know how to think clearly and how to solve problems efficiently. And that outcome, the school's leaders believe, is more relevant than the numbers that they might achieve on standardized tests. Now, I would think that, you know, plenty of people would agree with that line of thinking. The question now is whether Design Lab is actually going to be able to produce graduates who live up to those expectations. And that we're going to have to wait and see.